Lord, we praise you for what you've done. And we could recount so many things and you've done, but as the song has helped us think about Jesus and what he's done on the cross, dying for our sins, being buried, and on the third day, as we have celebrated each and every Sunday, rose again, and we've seen his post-resurrection appearances in the Gospel of John, and we're going to see one more. And we're so grateful for this breakfast that Jesus provides for his disciples as he reveals a little bit more about himself and as we get to know Jesus just a little bit more. So thank you for the music, but now we say thank you for your word, and may we listen, engage, and respond in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Thank you, worship team. And so good to see you. Turn in your Bibles to John 21. John 21. As I said, we're in the last chapter, but not the last sermon. We got several more to go. But the gospel's been glorious. Started with the fact that the Word, Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. Yes, I go to children's church. That's such a... You know what? Found out from Justin today. He was in 8 o'clock service. They're doing the same story that we're doing this morning, and that doesn't always happen. So she's going to hear the same story. So, the Word became flesh, dwelt among us, and the Word, Jesus, walked among us, humanity, performed miracles, demonstrated compassion, fulfilled the Father's will for him on the cross, was humiliated, tortured, crucified by an unlikely alliance. The Jewish leadership and the Roman authorities come together to crucify Jesus. And after declaring, "It is finished," in other words, he knew that the payment for our sin was complete. He bowed his head, gave up his spirit. He was buried in a rich man's tomb with no broken bones. And on the third day, rose again. And John gives us this order of the resurrection appearances. First to Mary Magdalene, and Mary got to see Jesus first and was commissioned to go tell the disciples, and then just came to the disciples and said, "I have seen the Lord." And then Jesus appeared to 10 of the disciples in a locked room. He just appeared to them. I believe he appeared to them that he might just demonstrate he was alive, give them peace, tell them they had purpose, and give them a taste of the Holy Spirit. Last week, we saw that he appeared again, this time to 11 disciples. Thomas was there, and he appeared to give Thomas faith. It says this in John 20, 27, "Then he said to Thomas, 'Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe.'" Then we saw Thomas make one of the great confessions in the Bible. He said, after seeing the scars of the risen Lord, he said, "My Lord, my God." And doubting Thomas, bless his heart, we call him that, doubting Thomas became worshiping Thomas. And the show me disciple, whom we dubbed last week, confessed that Jesus was his God, his Lord. So this morning, we're going to see Jesus make another appearance to his disciples, this time not in Jerusalem, but in Galilee, because he has something to reveal yet. I'm assuming John does everything on purpose under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. He says a couple times, "There's much more that was written, but I can't write it all, and the world couldn't handle all the books." So he chooses his stories so he can tell what we need to know And apparently there's still an unresolved issue. I believe that unresolved issue is Peter. And we're going to see this week and next week, we're going to take 2 weeks. It's going to take that long to restore Peter. So we're going to see this morning he does breakfast, but it all points towards right after breakfast, Jesus asking Peter, "Do you love me?" I dubbed this a breakfast to remember. Obviously, it was a memorable breakfast. Let's look at the first three verses to set this up. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias and revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of the disciples were together. That's seven there. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We'll go with you." They went out and got into the boat that they might be, but they caught that night nothing. All right, so why did Jesus want them to go to Galilee? Well, he's already seen them in Jerusalem twice. Apparently, there's something else he wants to reveal. And even an angel told the women that he was going to do this. So at the resurrection, an angel says in Matthew 28, verse 5, "He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he's going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, as I have told you." So even at the resurrection, an angel told the women to tell the disciples that he's going to see them in Galilee. And they end up, apparently, after the confirmation of his resurrection, they move on to Galilee, not knowing exactly what's going to happen. But this morning, we're going to see this breakfast to remember, three things to remember. It's fine, I think. They're doing the best they can. And I usually just preach right through it. It's not yours. I actually know whose it is. If they're fine, the parents are with them. Nobody panic. Sorry, online. Sometimes you can't ignore it, you know, but sometimes you just go on. We should just pause and pray. Okay, here are the three things that we need to remember with this breakfast, okay? Number one, this breakfast with Jesus helps us remember beginnings. Look at chapter 21, verse 4. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from land, about 100 yards off. Goodness, let's just stop for a second. The disciples were in Galilee. They were doing what they knew to do. Peter said, "Let's go fishing." It's at daybreak. Jesus is on the shore, 100 yards away. That's a football field. And they don't recognize him. Of course, that's quite a distance. He addresses the disciples as children, which R.C. Sproul says could be translated fellows, lads, or boys. And so he's saying, "Boys, did you catch any fish?" They answered, "No." I'm sure they're kind of dejected about that. So Jesus instructs them to cast their nets on the right side of the boat. They comply. They catch so many fish that they can't draw the net into the boat. Okay, can you feel the reality of this situation for just a moment? The fishermen are out there. They kind of know what to do, but they're not catching any fish. It's daybreak. They're frustrated. Jesus isn't a stranger, but they don't know it's Jesus. So this stranger tells them to cast the net over the right side of the boat. And the Lord, I just imagine, is smiling, watching them pull in that large catch of fish. It's John, the disciple whom Jesus loves, who says to Peter, "It's the Lord." The miracle reminds John that it's Jesus. This whole scene is pretty reminiscent of what happened at the beginning. Do you remember when Jesus called the disciples? They were out fishing. You can find the account in Luke 5, verse 3. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, Peter's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. He sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we have toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. This breakfast that Jesus is arranging is helping them remember how it all began. Do you remember, Peter, how it all began? Now, notice Peter's reaction. The second time is different than the first time. The first time, this is Peter's reaction in Luke 5, verse 8. "But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me. I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken." Depart from me, Lord. I'm not worthy. Now look at his reaction this time. Peter, the one who ran to the tomb with John when he found out that the tomb was empty, swims to Jesus. Look at verse 7. "When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea." Now, usually we strip down to our bathing suits when we go swimming. Apparently, he had already done that because he was working, and he was in his loincloth or whatever they swim in that day. Okay. But he puts on his outer garment because he wants to be covered when he meets Jesus. And that's quite a swim. I assume he was a great swimmer because he's a fisherman and in the water all the time. But still, to put on a robe and then swim 100 yards was a little bit of a feat. But what strikes me is he was anxious to see Jesus. He couldn't wait for the boat. The nets were still being pulled in, and he just jumps in and he swims. Even though there had to be some thoughts in his head, "I have some unresolved things with Jesus, but I still want to see the risen Lord." He swims 100 yards. I believe this account and its continuation next week. Please come back next week. Sermon won't be done till next week. I believe this account, followed by next week's account, is all about restoring Peter and his love for Jesus. Revelation 2 says this, verse 4 and 5, to a church, Jesus says, "I have this against you. You've abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you had at first. So, Peter, remember how it all began. Remember the love and passion. You were so sold out, you left your nets and followed Jesus. But look how far you've fallen. It was just a few days ago that you denied even knowing Jesus. Now, remember where you came from. Repent and do what you did at the beginning. Remember what it was like with Jesus at the beginning. And I wonder today if some of us don't need to hear that same thing. You know, we remember what it was like to begin with Jesus, the passion, the fire we had. And maybe we've fallen some out of our first love. And so we have to remember what it was like. What was Jesus doing in our life at the beginning? He wants to do it again, fresh and anew. Breakfast with Jesus was for remembering beginnings. And secondly, for remembering memories. Memories. Look at verse 9. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. Apparently, Jesus had already caught his own fish. We're not told how. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Okay, I love the details in this passage. Listen to the description of our eyewitness John, who saw all of this happen. John tells us that when the disciples got out of land, they saw this charcoal fire with fish and bread laid on it. I don't want to be too sentimental, but I believe this would have conjured up all sorts of memories for the disciples. You all have been around a fire with family or friends, and then the stories ensue, right? Has anybody been there? Sometimes the stories are fish stories. But but they just conjures up memories, just being with the people you love and being around that fire, that barbecue. But first, let's note the details that are shared. Jesus asked the disciples to bring some of the fish that had been caught, and apparently they did some inventory. The net was untorn, and it was full of large fish, not just small, everyday fish that I would catch. Large fish. And we're told there's 153 of them. I think they were proud of this catch. If you read commentaries, it has driven, the number 153 has driven some commentators to the point of madness, trying to figure out what 153 means. Just read them. I don't have time today. But I want to submit to you very humbly that John mentions there's 153 of them because there are 153 of them. And he wants to make sure he's telling the story accurately. This is a historical account, which every detail matters. It's been a 3-year journey with Jesus. And the disciples have seen so much. I'm imagining now the nostalgia around the fire, if you'll allow me to do that. How many times had Jesus fed people? You remember the time he fed 5,000, then he fed 4,000, and then we got in a boat and we forgot lunch? And Jesus said, "Are you kidding me? You're worried about lunch for 13 when I've just fed 5,000 and 4,000? I can feed you now." Do you remember the time when he served them and he kneeled down, he took up a basin and a towel, and he fed them? He washed their feet and then gave them the Passover, which had become our Lord's Supper. Do you remember that? John, do you remember that? Peter, all the beautiful memories of Jesus. And then there's also the haunting memories. You know, I believe John does everything on purpose, and there's only one other time in the Gospel of John when the charcoal fire is mentioned. It happened a few days prior to this in John 18. I'll read it for you. John 18, verse 18. Now the servants and officers had made a charcoal fire because it was cold and they were standing and warming themselves. Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself. Verse 25. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. So they said to him, "You also are one of the disciples, aren't you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter again denied it. And at once, a rooster crowed. Here's Luke's account. In Luke 22, verse 55, "And when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter was among them. And then Peter denies him three times." Verse 61 says, "And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, 'Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times.' And he went out and wept bitterly." And I can only imagine what Peter is thinking in this moment. "I can't believe the Lord has brought me to this place, a charcoal fire." Memories. Sometimes when we spend time and have breakfast with Jesus, we sometimes can think of the good memories that we have, that we did well, perhaps, and we thank the Lord for how He's blessed us. And other times we think about the times we've just failed, and we repent, and we draw near to the Lord Jesus. Peter and the disciples are now warming themselves around a charcoal fire, but this time the fire isn't attended by women and soldiers, but by Jesus. The scene is set for Jesus to reveal more about himself to his disciples, to Peter, to you, and to me. Breakfast with Jesus was for remembering beginnings and memories. And lastly, for remembering fellowship. Look at verse 12. "Now Jesus said to them, 'Come and have breakfast.' Now none of the disciples dared ask him, 'Who are you?' They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread, gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead." This is mind-blowing to me. Jesus shows up the first time and says, "Peace, I'm alive." He shows up the second time to Thomas and says, "Thomas, look at my scars. Don't disbelieve, believe. Give him faith." And here he shows up and invites them to breakfast because he wants to fellowship with them. Now, they've done this for 3 years, but some things have happened that have kind of broken that fellowship, perhaps. And Jesus says, "Come eat breakfast with me." And by the way, the disciples are fairly famous for asking dumb questions. I'm sorry I said that in church. Your questions are never dumb. Mine, perhaps. But they were pretty famous for that. And they said, the Bible says, no one dare ask if this was Jesus because that would be a really dumb question. They knew it was Jesus. Jesus served them breakfast with bread and fish. They fellowshiped around a meal. And can you imagine the conversation around the fire? We don't have that recorded. I won't try to inject it. But you know that when you're with family, with friends, and you're around a fire and you're eating together, you tell each other things you wouldn't normally tell each other by just coming to church and leaving. Right? That's why it's so important that we get together for meals and we get together outside of church together. Scripture talks about the importance of our fellowship with the Lord. John 14:23 says, Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." If you love the Lord, love his word, the Father and the Son will come and live with you. 1 John 1, 1 through 3, the same writer as the gospel. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked on, which we've touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. We saw the risen Lord, we touched him, we ate breakfast with him." John goes on to say, "The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us, that we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you, so that," listen, "you may have fellowship with us. Our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus." So listen, we preach Jesus that you might have true fellowship with us, but you need to know that our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. And when you come to know the Father and the Son, we have fellowship with one another. Josh Moody writes, "Jesus does not appear to the disciples merely behind the pulpit, behind the lectern or in the lecture room, nor is he merely a miracle worker. He is also someone with whom you sit down and eat together. Jesus disciples people by making time to be with them over meals, in person, in the flow of life. We should do likewise for our brothers and sisters in whatever position or role we're called to shepherd our family, both church and biological. We must make time to be with them and prize the opportunity to eat together. Not to just replenish fuel, but to renew our souls." I'm sure the breakfast tasted great that day. I mean, who could be a better cook, right? But it was more than the breakfast. It was more than fuel for the stomach. It was a refueling of the souls that happened around that fire. John 15:5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides with me and in me, whoever who lives with me, fellowships with me, and I in him, he is the one who bears fruit, much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing." So how do we fellowship with the Lord? How do we have breakfast with him? Well, in a very brief time, I would say we fellowship with him by spending time in his word and in prayer and with other believers. Okay, there's more to it. There are things like serving, stewarding our gifts, stewarding our finances. There's all sorts of things that come into walking with the Lord. But could we just keep it simple and stick with this text for this morning? The fish and the bread are Bible, prayer with other people who love Bible and prayer. That's how you have breakfast with Jesus. And so I pray and have prayed this week that we would have a hunger for God's word, we'd have a hunger for prayer, and that we'd have hunger for sharing that with God's people. Spurgeon writes, "Notice that it was Jesus who provides the fire and meal as well as the invitation. Jesus is the master of the feast. He condescends to the feast. Is it not wonderful that the Holy Lord would have communion with his faulty followers? Faulty as in flawed. Yet he will breakfast with us who doubted him as Thomas did, with us who denied him as Peter did, with us who forsook him and fled as the rest of the disciples did. When we, as true believers in Jesus, fail, our fellowship isn't broken with Jesus. And he just says, hey, come back and have breakfast. Peter, let's have breakfast. Thomas, you now believe, let's have breakfast. So breakfast with Jesus is about remembering beginnings and memories throughout our Christian life, and fellowship with Jesus, that if you're a believer in Jesus, it's never broken. We just have to draw near to him, and he'll draw near to us. So next week, we're going to finish this sermon, okay? I could have done it today, but you would have complained, some of you. So we're going to do it tomorrow, next week, where we're going to see in verse 15, it says, after breakfast, Jesus said to Peter, do you love me? You see, this whole thing has been setting up Peter. Let's don't jump too far ahead. How do you respond to this text this morning? Jesus may be wanting to speak into your life, just like he's wanting to speak into Peter's life. Do you remember what it was like with Jesus at the beginning? The passion, the fire, I'll leave my nets behind kind of faith. And do you need to recapture that? Revelation says, remember how far you've fallen, repent and return to your first love. As you gather around the fire, you might even occasionally remember the good times with Jesus. Remember the times you failed, and it just haunts you. And Jesus says this week, I want to fellowship with you. Believer in Jesus, our fellowship isn't broken. Come to the table. Come to the warm fire. Open your Bible. Pray and talk with me. I want to fellowship with you. If he could do that for Peter, I think he can do that for me. And he can do that for you. And then do you understand that this life, this Christian life, is meant to be lived with the Bible open, our hearts open in prayer, and sharing life with one another? So, you need to get more connected than just coming here. And thank you for coming. I expect to see you next Sunday. But you need more. And this is all for our edification and his glory. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this scene, for breakfast with Jesus. Goodness gracious, I love this text. How real it is. How Jesus just saw the boys 3 years later fishing. And without him, they couldn't catch anything. And how that whole scene took them back to the beginning in restoring Peter and restoring us that need to be restored takes us back to the beginning. How things started with you through Jesus. And Lord, sometimes we relive all these memories. I can only imagine how Peter was thinking around that charcoal fire and that memory of Jesus looking at him after the rooster had crowed. Goodness gracious. And here he was again around the charcoal fire. And Jesus said, come, eat breakfast. I want to fellowship with you, and I believe he wants to fellowship with everyone in who knows Jesus. For those who don't know Jesus, we do pray that they would come to accept Jesus and come into true fellowship with you. For those of us who know Jesus, this is not to give us an excuse, but those memories that come to us once in a while and say, I can't believe I did that. Can we just come to breakfast? Can we open up our Bible and pray and seek out some Christian brothers and sisters to really grow together? So, Lord, thank you for this account. Now help us as we sing this last song and respond in Jesus' name.